On this episode, I'll challenge you to imagine a life with no guilt, condemnation, or shame. A life where you're always in good standing with Almighty God, no laws to break, but promises to receive by faith. Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm excited to continue talking about If You Only Knew. If you only knew what a marvelous thing that God has done for you through the faith of His Son, Jesus Christ. He has brought you up to His level to live a life of power and to live a life on such a successful level that people know that you are walking with a living God. When Jesus walked the earth, the religious leaders of His day did not agree with His doctrine, but they could not deny the power of God that was working in His life. And when Jesus left the earth, He left us the authority and power to operate like He did. How do we do this? Well, Romans 12, 1 and 2 gives us the answer. It says, "I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." First, it says to present your body. I said on the last episode that your body is not you, and your body is where one of the major challenges will come from. We got a new spirit when we receive Christ, but not a new body. So it tells you, the real spirit man, to present your body, and you've been empowered to do so. We'll talk throughout this series on how to do that. Then we read where the other issue is. It says to renew your mind to the way of the kingdom. And by doing these two things, you will prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God for your life. Notice it starts with the good and goes up from there. God has nothing worse than good planned for you. Even with what I just said, most have to renew their minds for that statement. God only has good for me. Yes, God only has good for you. But there is an enemy that has nothing but bad planned for you. But he will fail if you do what we just read. Present your body and renew your mind, which is a daily process. We can develop over time the mind of Christ and operate on the same level that Jesus Christ did. Some say, "Come on, Harold, operate like Jesus." Yes. This is what the Bible is asking us to do. Listen to the mind that the Bible is telling us to have. I'm in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be one with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Notice, I didn't write this. The Bible is saying to have the same mind of Jesus. And by having the same mind of being one with God, one with God, look at that. He's telling us to have the mind that we are one with God, yet humble ourselves to be a servant to people And when we do so, we can use the name of Jesus, and all of the opposing forces have to bow to the name of Jesus. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think that Jesus had a sin-conscious mind where he was always conscious of sin? Do you think he lived with condemnation? How about guilt and shame? No, I'm sure that none of these mindsets were ones that Jesus had. Because if he did, I don't think we would have heard him say things like, "Father, I know that you always hear me." So he knew he had the answer to what he was about to request before he asked. We would not have heard him say, "According to my words be it unto you." We wouldn't have seen him cast out demons, and every time that he spoke with authority, they obeyed him. So if he operated without sin consciousness, condemnation, guilt, and shame, and heaven responded to back his words, would it be safe to say that if we operate without these things in our minds, we will see the same results? I believe we can. This is why Jesus said to me in an encounter I had about 3 o'clock in the morning some years back, that the problem with his people is with their bodies and unrenewed minds, and it's not being taught properly, and he would open the door for me to teach it. So here I am. Now, to understand what I started teaching on the last episode, you have to know that Jesus did not operate under the New Testament. He operated under the Old Testament law. Hebrews 9:16 and 17 says, "A testament is in force after the testator has died." Jesus was alive when we see him operating in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the New Testament technically started in the book of Acts, after Jesus died. If you don't understand this, you'll be confused hearing Jesus talking about the law in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's saying things like, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He says to look at a woman, to lust after her, is like the sin of adultery. And I'm going to take you now to a passage of scripture that he said that will sound like a contradiction of what I said on the last episode, that we are not under the law anymore. But I'm going to break it down. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. This is Jesus talking. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, that until heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we know that the scribes and Pharisees were looking to keep the law. All right, now, notice he said, not one jot or tittle shall pass until all be fulfilled. And he said in verse 17, "I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law." Well, under the Old Testament law, there was a temple for worship. Within it was a place called the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest was allowed to go in the Holy of Holies to offer an animal's blood for yearly sacrifice. When Jesus died, he fulfilled the law and he ushered in the New Testament. What God did to show that the law was now fulfilled and the Old Testament requirements were complete, he tore the veil in the Old Testament temple. Listen to Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. He died. Verse 51. "And behold, the veil of the temple was ripped in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent." Notice it says that it was torn from the top to the bottom, indicating that God tore it. Now, this is important to understand that on the cross died your sins, guilt, condemnation, and shame. Jesus fulfilled the law for you, and God now sees you as clean, as his son, Jesus Christ, and he will continue to see you that way as long as you are in Christ. I'm telling you that everything that you've done or will do in the future has been paid for by Jesus. To carry guilt, shame, or condemnation about it is to say that what Jesus did was not enough. Again, listen to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, as I said on the last episode. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, the law of sin and death in our bodies. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sins condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness, listen to this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay? He came so that he could die in our place, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It says that the righteousness of the law has been fulfilled in us. Jesus fulfilled it, and if we believe in him, it's as if we fulfilled it. Who does this? This is not the love of this world. This is the love from another place. This is the kingdom of heaven's love. He has set us free and empowered us with his Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Jesus died in our place so that we can now live in his place. And with Holy Spirit's help, we can renew our minds to this and present our bodies. Listen to Romans 8, 4 through 13, and we're going to see more this battle that takes place between an unrenewed mind and our flesh. I'm going to start again at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So in other words, he's telling you, what are you giving your mind to? Are you giving your mind to things that pertain to the flesh? Or are you giving your mind to things that pertain to the Spirit? Now, look what happens here if you yield. When he's talking, you're going to see in verse 6, here's what it says. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. That means when your mind is hooked up to your body, to your carnal mind, to the thinking that's contrary to what's in your spirit, that it's going to lead to death. Then he goes on to say, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There we see here that he's telling us here that if we will allow our minds to be renewed to what's in our spirit, it's going to lead to life and peace and victory in every area of our lives as we obey the word of God. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, there had periods in my life where I was wondering, man, I believe that God is in me. Why am I having these desires? Where is this coming from? How is it now that one minute I want to do right and the next minute I don't want to do right? What's going on? Well, now I understand. If my mind is hooked up to my body, my flesh, then those are the things that's going to govern my life. But if I'll take the time to renew my mind, and now my mind is lined up with my spirit, it's going to lead to life and peace, like it said. Verse 7 again. Because the carnal mind is an enemy against God. Notice what this is saying here next. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that's telling us we can't walk this walk the way God wants us to unless we renew our mind. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now that's telling us where the battle lies right there. Verse 10 again. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. So all those evil cravings, lustful cravings, they're coming from your body. It's not you. It's the house you live in. It goes on to say, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. See, that's you. You have been placed in Christ, and you've been made righteous, and life has been placed on the inside of you. And if you begin to renew your mind to what's on the inside of you, then you'll walk this walk, and you'll see the fruit of God manifest in your life. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. See, that's how powerful you are on the inside. It's the same power in you that rose Jesus Christ from the dead, but it will lie dormant until you line your mind up with what's on the inside of your spirit. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, this is not talking about eternal damnation. This is talking about death to your relationships, death to your business, death to your marriage, whatever it may be. If you're allowing your flesh, your carnal mind to govern your life, He's telling you it's going to lead to death. It goes on to say, but if you through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. He's not telling you to do that if you can. It's a process, but over time you can. It goes on to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, God's on the inside of us. This is why we don't need a written law anymore. His Spirit is on the inside of us. We have Christ living on the inside of us. With no condemnation, we can walk out the process of renewing our minds with the Word of God, which will line our minds up with our spirit. When we do this, we can gain the mastery of our body. If we fall down, we get up and continue the process. God will not condemn us, and we shouldn't allow the devil to do so either, nor should we condemn ourselves. God will be merciful to our unrighteous deeds. Listen to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 7 through 13. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, let me stop for a minute. The fault is in the flesh. That's the fault. We weren't capable of keeping the law because of what was in our flesh. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. Notice he says, when I took them by the hand, he wasn't in them. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. He's on the inside of us. So that's why he can write on our hearts and write on our minds. And he said, I will be a God to them. What is life like when we have God, the Almighty God, being a God to us? That's the treasure. That's the beauty of growing in this, because we can begin to see a living God at work in our lives. Verse 11, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. In that he said, a new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. It says God will be merciful to our unrighteousness. He's talking about the deeds of our body. We hear in this same verse, he will remember our sins no more. Christ took care of that. But we are to present our bodies and renew our minds. And in doing so, we will see God take us from good to acceptable to his perfect will for our lives. We are to just keep going forward. God has trust in what he has put in us. He knows that if we know the truth and give the seed that he put in us the water of his word and the sunshine of his presence in prayer and worship, we will become great in Christ in our area of gifting. Just don't stop. No matter how you may feel, no matter the roadblocks that Satan puts up, he can't stop you unless you quit. You are like God on the inside, destined to be great like your God. I didn't know this when I started this walk. I didn't know what was in me. Nobody was really telling me what was on the inside of me and what the potential that I had on the inside of me. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit that's in us. Christ in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. You can only produce fruit of what's on the vine. So listen to what it's saying. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. This is what's in your born-again spirit in Christ. And things opposite of this are coming from your body and unrenewed mind. And over time, you can put it to death. And in doing so, you will show the fruit of God. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Bible just said that you have been created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what's in your spirit. And that you are to put on this new man, put it on your body by renewing your mind to what's in your righteous spirit. And Holy Spirit is in you to help you. I'll be talking more in upcoming episodes about the power of Holy Spirit to assist you. You were created to win in life. God did not make one failure. Failure will only happen to us if we fail to utilize what God has made available. You are not alone, no matter if you feel that way sometimes. God has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he never goes back on his word. Much more to come in episodes ahead. Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay. We'll see you on the next episode.